Are you just not going to say it?
Oh, thanks, Zoom Siri. Sorry, the pop-up. I was distracted getting the days of the week and then the pop-up.
How are we supposed to start the episode without
thanks, Zoom Siri?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Rick. Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips. It is me, your boy, Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host, Rick Landis. Rick, how we doing, good buddy?
I'm very chipper today, very spry, awake, kind of. I saw this thing online yesterday that it was like a power nap thing where you lay on your back with your legs up on like a bed or something.
Yeah.
And you just lay there with your eyes closed for 8 minutes.
I heard it's called a SEAL nap, a Navy SEAL nap, something
like
that.
Apparently they use it or something like that. I was surprisingly refreshed when I woke up from it. So much so that I almost decided not to drink a rain before I went to the gym. I did
I was gonna say,
in fact, drink one before I went to the gym.
That
because
still
of
happened.
My own flaws, personally. However,
small caffeine
I considered
addiction,
it for a moment. And I do actually feel a little bit more awake now than I normally do. I don't know if people can hear that in my voice. It's been a whirlwind of a day. A lot of stuff been going on. I just found out that I have to take another day off of work next week, which I'm not excited about. But it's for my future.
Yeah, future.
Because unfortunately, my future cannot involve me sitting on my butt all the time.
No,
and then going out and playing golf every once in a while.
No, that was a good stretch for that in 2020. But
now I gotta work and try to get
money and
get
stuff
to a point financially where Gina can stay home because she deserves that. So,
damn right. Damn right. See, my goal is actually the exact opposite. I kind of want to be a trophy husband. And
I would love to have that be a possibility in my future. However, I don't know that I could go a day without actually like going to work and doing something. The time that I wasn't working, I just felt like there was no purpose for me to be here. And I was struggling to find something. And then I got back to work and I was like, all right, we're good. Back on track.
Retirement might be a bit tough for you.
My golf dreams did not pan out during quarantine. So retirement will be fine. I'll probably be one of those people that retires and then gets like a 20 hour a week, part-time job. Just doing stuff.
You're going to be like one of the cute old men that does like the shopping carts, like the local grocery stores.
Do you picture my future as a cute old man? Because I definitely do not.
Of course, you're just gonna be an adorable old timer. It's gonna be great.
I'm gonna be the guy with Alzheimer's standing in the Walmart issues. Doorway with the smiley face stickers, giving them to kid children as they walk in the door.
exactly. There it is. That we found it. We found the dream. The dream is just being that guy. You know, like that. It's kind of sad now because A, we've lost the smiley face being affiliated with Walmart. That's no longer.
Yeah, I know. It stinks.
It's no longer like an old retired person at the door. You have like three teenagers for some reason, all standing. By the way, nobody's sitting.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just silently judge you when you walk in. It's like
right?
is not.
I
how
feel like I
to
have
be.
To be like presentable and like
right?
like I belong. At Target, but I'm actually at Walmart kind
exactly.
of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm at Walmart.
I'm not, and, like, this isn't Target, okay?
And our Walmart is just ever increasingly growing my anxiety in social situations.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've been there recently, but they recently moved their trading card section.
Yes,
so
I know.
You now have to talk to people in order to buy them, which is just, I can't handle it mentally. I tried to just grab a box the other day and she was like, I think you have to pay for that here. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to like carry it around the store with me and then I'll be back. And she was like, no, like you have to like leave it here until you're ready to buy it. And then I got back up to the counter like 5 minutes later and I said, hey, can I have that box? And she didn't know what box it was. She saw me holding it and I just, I couldn't do it. I
she goes to grab like the carton of cigarettes. She's like, no, over there.
I'm like, you know me. I know you know me. You're not the man with Alzheimer's and the smiley face stickers. Okay. You're a nice cashier lady, and I'm sure you're not meaning to frustrate me at all, but I am currently very frustrated because every time I go into Walmart now, they assume I'm stealing something.
Listen here, nice cashier lady, okay? I'm going to need you to just grab the box of magic cards.
I bought a lunchbox the other day from that Walmart, and the lady that like stands in the shelf checkout area came up to check my lunchbox to make sure that I didn't steal anything, but she couldn't figure out how to open it. So she was standing there for like 30 seconds just trying to open my lunchbox. Eventually, I just opened it, and she was like, thank you, and I was like, get out of my face.
And now everybody was staring at you, I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm walking out with my matching red lunchbox and red water cooler because that's just who I am as a person.
Just and the worst just situation for Rick to be.
Oh my god, yeah, it was horrible. I haven't had a string of very poor experiences at the Harleysville Walmarts.
I just gotta start driving to the other Walmarts. Just go to a different.
Just
one.
Gonna start stopping at the one on the way home. It's just exactly what has to happen.
Until you get like at least a feasibly decent. experience at Walmart, just gotta start trying new ones. I'm testing the market on Walmarts here, folks. All right, what do we got? The days of the week, buddy. What do we got?
Not Walmart day.
Not Walmart May 10th, day.
The day you're listening to this is National Shrimp Day, which is good.
Man, I love shrimp.
It does bring me happiness. I had shrimp yesterday. Well, Sunday, I guess it would be when people are listening to this. I could just eat a whole bowl of shrimp.
Oh yeah, for sure.
No question.
I would like a little like dish of melted butter, but it's not necessary.
No, I'll take the sauce. What's the sauce?
Yeah, I don't like the sauce.
Cocktail sauce, is that what it's called? You don't like cocktail sauce?
Not a big cocktail sauce kind of guy. I don't like horseradish. So like that's
I love horseradish.
Like a main ingredient. So
I love horseradish. May 11th is National Eat What You Want Day. Will do.
Can confirm.
National Twilight Zone Day. Great show. If you haven't watched Twilight Zone, watch it. It's old, but it's good.
Hey, well, there is the new
really mess with your mind.
There's the newer one. I think that only lasted a season with Jordan Peele. But
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, it came back for like a season, and then like people were just like weren't as interested as they used to be. But you know, back when that show was around in like the 60s, everybody was like, "This is wild."
I used to watch that show with that guy that would walk around and like make you question your life. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you just talking about the Twilight Zone?
No, it's like, let me see. I think it's called like Beyond Belief or something.
Alien.
Yes, that's what it is. Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction. And it would be like stories about it. And I'm sure you've seen the meme. It's this guy. He's like walking around and he like asks these questions. And it's like,
oh, I have seen this.
It's the meme where it's like, my girl, right, as we're about to go to bed. And then it's just like all these random strings of questions that he's asking. And that's what he asks at the beginning of the episode. And then it like goes into the episode. I used to watch that show. Great show, by the way.
I love some of the questions that are just add like just that's psychopathic. That like, do birds fly? Actually, they don't. Hi. Welcome to Beyond Belief.
Yeah. I don't know if that's still on TV or if I can watch it. It's on Peacock. I'm going to watch it. It's happening.
It's 46 episodes.
It's so good. It's
such a good show. A grand total of 230 segments.
Yeah, that's like a very Twilight Zone-y kind of feel thing, and it's a good show. So, anyway.
Sick goatee on the one guy, too.
Yeah, right. May 12th, we have National Nutty Fudge Day.
So it's just fudge with
nuts in it? Yeah, nut fudge.
Nut fudge.
May 13th, we have a jam-packed day. We have apple pie day, crouton day, frog jumping day, fruit cocktail day, and blame somebody else day.
Oh, I mean, that's an everyday.
Always a good one. Always a
that's
good
every
one.
Day.
I mean, I need an excuse for why my life's falling apart, and I'm not going to blame myself.
It's not my fault, clearly. I mean, come on. What? No.
And then after you're done blaming somebody else for your life struggles on May 14th, you can celebrate National Dance Like a Chicken Day.
Oh, solid day. Yeah. Solid day.
Sure. Definitely.
Oh, man. National Dance Like a Chicken Day. Is that, huh? All righty. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, those are the days of the week. Now let's get into the golf that well, actually, before we get to the golf, I wasn't going to do it, but damn it, I'm doing it. So, you know, the I think it was either last episode or maybe a couple before that, we were talking about the Old Bay thing and then the Old Bay vodka.
Yes.
Okay. There are reports coming from Goldfish HQ. Yeah, I said that. From Goldfish HQ where they're partnering with Old Bay and there's going to be Old Bay Goldfish.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I need it. I need it.
I was confused what you meant by Goldfish HQ for a second. I was like, they can't be talking about like actual Goldfish.
Like, actually, now that they have meetings like every Tuesday.
Like a flavor blasted pizza Goldfish. It's not going to be Old Bay.
Yeah, but like, I have a feeling it's going to be so good because it's going to be a bit more simple than like the flavor blasted Parmesan things
which,
that they're
which by the way are very good,
which are great, don't get me wrong, but like a nice little dusting of Old Bay. I actually bought a bag of Goldfish on the way home to come home, open the bag and put Old Bay in it and just shook it around. It is in fact delicious.
You're gonna gain just so much weight if that becomes an actual thing,
and lose
Goldfish so much and Old Bay. I mean, it's a double whammy for you.
Oh, I should have worn my Old Bay t-shirt. That's in there somewhere. I was gonna wear that to work on Friday. So for work, we'd have like casual Friday. I'm wearing my Old Bay shirt because I just keep talking about it.
Speaking of work, before we get into golf, would you mind reciting the alphabet backwards for everybody, please?
You saw that?
Of course I saw it. You shared it to Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, you can't share it to Facebook and then expect me to not see. I'm like a 75-year-old woman trying to keep up with my grandchildren.
I forgot that I shared that on Facebook. No, I can't, clearly. And for those of you that are confused, go ahead and hop on over to Facebook or whatever and try to watch me and my fellow coworkers say the alphabet backwards.
Because can I share that to Twitter? Is that possible?
Probably.
To do that right now.
I can text you the link.
I'm going to share that to our Twitter.
Right to the Twitter. People are going to be like, who are these random people? Are they associated with the podcast?
We do have a Twitter now.
We do have one of those.
That should be an announcement that we make.
We have yet to come totally unhinged, but our only tweet is an attack tweet. So I think
it is. It definitely is. I think
that's where, if you want to know more about.
We do have a Twitter. I'm trying to bring it up now. It's at capital FTT _ pod. We currently have 43 following and one follower, which I believe is you.
Nice.
On your personal account. What do we have?
Do I have a business
two tweets. Yeah. I'm not super into the whole Twitter sphere. I'm trying my best, but go ahead, give us a follow on Twitter. And maybe I will work my way to being more active on Twitter. I don't quite understand Twitter all that much, but
Twitter mostly is just coming unhinged and just always letting everybody else know what your thoughts are, which, you know, sometimes I suggest against, but hey, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just don't need to tell people what you're thinking.
Yeah, I was recently at Ellie's sister, Rosie, had a birthday barbecue. And the second I walk into the door, I find one of her cousin's boyfriends who immediately asked me, and he was like, hot at the Sixers on Twitter, and I was like, ah, so you saw that. I don't know how you saw that, but yes I did. Look, you know, it's nice the series is tied now with the Heat or whatever, and you know, Joel Embiid's back to being the phantom of the process, and here we are. I'm still not seeing a championship. But just go.
You don't need a championship to be MVP, though. You just need to.
You
be,
don't. He was you robbed. Just
need to be foreign.
He was robbed. You know, I'm kind of a stats guy. For those of you that don't actually know, I'm kind of a stats guy. And what stinks is when like the analytics and the stats start getting into like the MVP spheres and like the stuff that usually is just like, if I'm watching the sport, I'm like, that guy is clearly better than everybody else. He should be MVP. Yeah. But then you got the people that actually vote for MVPs in sports don't watch it. They just read about it and then look at the stats. And sure, whatever. Nikolai Jokic, right? I think his name.
Yeah, he's got really better. Say it.
He's got better baseline stats. But when you watch Joel Embiid play basketball, you're like, wow, clearly he is better than everybody else on the floor. You know,
I mean, the Sixers got smacked around by the Heat in games 1 and 2, and then he comes back with a broken face and their series tied. Basketball podcast. We're a golf podcast. There's a lot of drama going on in golf right now. So let's get into that.
So just to start us off before we start getting into the week that was, we do have some news again about the Saudi tour as Lee Westwood, another domino to fall. He has asked to be released from the U.S. and European golf tours so he can compete in the first event of the Saudi-backed series. He is 49 years old and was looks like he's going to be doing it for $25 million, which is ridiculous. When he was asked about it, he said, quote, the ball is in their court right now as far as his release is concerned. And he said, this is my job. I do this for money. It's the only reason for doing it. But if anybody comes along and gives any chance for a pay raise, then you have to seriously consider it, don't you? And you want to know what? When it comes to a golfer like Lee Westwood, this actually makes a lot of sense. If they're willing to pay you that much money, go do it. You know?
Yes. We should clarify that anything we say regarding the whole Saudi situation is not us supporting the way the money is received for the Saudi Golf League.
Correct.
It's just us saying where we think these guys are in the whole spectrum of the thing. And in this case, Lee Westwood is in it for the money and he's not making it anymore on the PGA Tour. So in his mind, it makes more sense to go to this Saudi-backed league, even though it might not be morally, it might be in a morally gray area whether you right. should take that money or not.
Right. And, you know, obviously when we talk about it, it's more about we are just the, how should I say this, the Sherpas of the news for you. So, you know, not the cloth, the people that lead people up mountains. We're just kind of taking the news, delivering it to you. And then there's a separation point, and then it's our opinions. So there's a hard cut in between those two things. I feel like that was a lot of explanation, but you get it. I do think it, at this point in his career, though, no, he is not really going to be making any more money on tour. And maybe like a one-off win here or there might happen at this point, but it's not like he's going to be making consistent money on the PGA Tour at this point. So this actually, as far as like where his career is, it makes a lot of sense if they're willing to pay you that kind of cash. So Lee Westwood will no longer be a part of the Euro or PGA Tours and is going to be playing in that first event in London, June 9th to the 11th. So we will see how that ends up going because, you know, we still have the whole thing with Phil. But my goodness. But let's talk about the golf that was at the Wells Fargo Championship. One of the probably most likable guys on tour getting the win, Max Homa. He's just a Twitter troll. Very funny guy to follow. Immediately after like winning, he went on two separate Barstool podcasts, which I found pretty funny. So this is actually the second time he's won the Wells Fargo Championship. Rick, do you know the other guy who has won the Wells Fargo Championship twice?
Matty Fitzpatrick?
No. Good guess, though. No, he only plays well when it's like really crappy weather. Rory McIlroy has won. Is funny because when it came down to the wire, McIlroy and Fitzpatrick, along with Homa, were in the running in the top five. So, but Max Homa gets it done a second time in his career. And you want to talk about a huge turnaround. Let us not forget that in 2017, Max Homa lost his tour card and he had to fight back on the Korn Ferry Tour just to get back on tour in the first place. That's not that long ago. Like, I know it's 5 years ago, but that's not a whole lot of time, especially because he had to rejoin the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018. So really, he was a rookie again in 2019 when he was coming out of college, winning a national championship, winning a player of the year in high school, things of that nature. And, you know, coming to tour, he said, quote, I've always had a good work ethic, but when I actually made it to tour, I felt like I needed to change things about my game to try and fit this perfect ideal of what he thought a golfer was. And then he started to really struggle. His confidence dipped and he completely lost his tour card. So really cool to see him back in action like that. And let's just go through the season that he's having. So when you we'll talk about kind of the Waste Management Phoenix Open to now. All of his starts, except for two, have been in the top 20. And that's a grand total of 8 starts. All but two have been in the top 20. Oh, sorry, all but three. One was 21. It's close enough for me. Top 25, I should say then. He's got 2 wins this year, one at the 14th in September, and then now at the Wells Fargo Championship. He did have a little bit of a dip after, like, from the CJ Cup to the Farmers where he was cut twice, only made top 20 once, and then also came in T35 and T72. But he has since turned it around since the Waste Management, because why wouldn't you want to turn it around at the Waste Management? And he's kind of come on a little bit here, you know, the farther we get down towards the stretch into majors season. And now is the time that you want to turn it on. Now, do you consider this kind of play from Max Homa, even though this tournament didn't really have any like the heavy hitters or any of that? But do you think that this could prove to be a breakout year for Max Homa, where he might actually wind up in like the top 20 of FedEx Cup points?
Yeah. I mean, I think the part that sells that question for me is the top 20. Breakout year, if you had ended it there, I'd say no, because I don't know if he's ever really going to be like one of those top tier guys that we're talking about, like a Scottie Scheffler or like even like a what's his name this year,
Cam Smith.
Yeah, like we're not going to be talking about him like that, I don't think, anytime soon. But yeah, I could definitely see him breaking into like the top 20 if he keeps playing like he is. I would like to say one thing though. I don't want to make it seem like I'm being too much of a hater, but I was a little distracted during your rant though there. So I'm not going to lie, I don't really know 100% of what you're saying, cause I was double checking. But I would just like to point out that, our guy Rob has no fucking idea what he's talking about.
Oh, did he post him?
No. Okay. Mark Leishman was his number one guy going into this week, who
I recall
missed
that.
The cut at plus three. I don't understand where, like, Max Homa wasn't even in your top 15 and he won. Where are you getting your numbers from?
Dude, there's a reason we used our first ever tweet just to attack him. There's a reason for this.
The guy he had in second, Corey Connors, was T21. In his power rankings. And then he got better after that. Rory and Matty Fitz were his next two guys. But your top two guys shoot even par on a weekend and miss the cut at plus three. What are you thinking?
Yeah, those are some bold picks. Those are
some bold picks. I gotta know what's going through your head, man.
Oh, Rob.
And anyway, sorry, I just wanted, I felt no, like I was fine. A little bit displaced there for a second during what you were talking about. And that's why, because I just wanted to double check.
The recovery was huge, though. You heard like the last bit I said, and you were like, I speak for a minute on that. See, look at you. You're growing as a podcast. I'm proud of you.
It's multitasking.
Yeah, look at that. I can't do that to save my life. I'm so terrible.
Benefits of dating someone from an Italian family. You have to be able to hold a million different conversations at once.
See, I like to focus. I like to, you know, make sure that the person knows that I am listening, you know.
That's how I used to be, but you adapt, you overcome. Nah.
I just don't have enough brain power. I really don't. But you know, I'm looking at it, you know, statistically, and it's a solid year from, you know, even from last year. You know, he also kind of peaked around the same time, but you know, just kind of dipped down. And you know, I'm looking at, you know, his career kind of in like a kind of like a line graph here. And it does seem like around this time of year is where he begins to grow and get a win or two. And so at this point in the year, when you start turning it back on, it's a pretty good time to start, considering you're two weekends away from the PGA Championship, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a good time of year for him to start playing like this. And also, you know, in the article here, which podcast was it? On the No Laying Up podcast. He was asked about, you know, the win and everything like that. And he gave a lot of credit to his caddy, whose name is, one second. Gave a lot of credit to his caddy, Joe Greiner, who also, by the way, just has a killer beard. Dude's just down to like the middle of the chest. Dude's got an absolute killer beard. But he gave so much credit to it. He was like, we were on the 15th tee and he said, you're a fucking killer. You're a killer here. And I went out and buried the hole, went up three, and coming off the green, he said it again. He said, you're a fucking killer. And, you know, it just made him feel comfy. And he knows, at least the caddy knows, that if he gives him these boosts throughout a round, especially on a Sunday, that he plays better. He stands up to the task at hand. So I wanted to ask you, because, you know, we talk a lot about the golfers. Clearly, we're a PGA Tour podcast. We talk so much about the golfers. How important do you really think having a good relationship with your caddy is to a PGA professional?
It's probably the most important thing besides actually being able to play the game of golf.
Agreed.
Obviously, you need to be able to shoot the shot. Like, if we went out there, we obviously have a great relationship. We will not shoot good scores just because we suck at golf.
Yeah.
So I would say it's probably secondary to being a really good golfer is just having a good relationship with your caddy. I don't know if there's really any, like, you can have as much preparation in the world as you want, but if you're not getting along with the person you're spending every single hole, every single minute of every hole, 20 plus hours a weekend with, just on the course, let alone off the course, like, that's not going to bode well for you.
No, it's, I was thinking about it, 'cause when I was reading this, I was like, I was kind of taking a moment, and, you know, we don't talk about the caddies near enough, but honestly, not enough news comes out about caddies for it to kind of be within our brain to think about.
Yeah.
But it's gotta be maybe, obviously everybody who's made the PGA Tour is incredible at golf. They wouldn't be on the PGA Tour if they weren't. You know, it's 250 guys out of the, what, billions of human beings that play golf.
It's gotta be at least a billion.
It's gotta be. And so you got the best 250 on the PGA Tour, and you all are, I'm obviously, you know, some are just like absolute
schmucks, you know,
anomalies, but like, you all are about the same level of good at golf. And a lot of that, it's got to ride on who you have next to you. Can they build you up at the right times? Can they make you step off at the right times? Can they give you the right club? Can they give you the right information that you like, that you need? It's honestly, I would say it might be tied for most important. Like, obviously being good at golf, sure. This is the PGA Tour, that they're already there. They're doing that.
And I think the best example of it, not to overshadow anyone who played this week, but I think the best example of it is Scottie Scheffler this year.
Right.
He goes out last year. He has a great year. He plays well. He shows up when he has to play John Rahm in the Ryder Cup. He does everything he needs to do, but then he gets a new caddy, and he gets one who is experienced winning two Masters tournaments, and he wins four events,
including a Masters.
Yeah. Like, I think if, I don't think there's any argument there. I think that just goes to show that is this probably the second most important thing when you're out there is the relationship you have and the experience of your caddy. Experience is definitely a part of it when it comes to like actually winning and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's experience and relationship with your caddy is definitely up there and probably second most important thing.
And, you know, unfortunately, as far as like caddy news, some on the forefront of some people's brains would be the Jordan Spieth issues in his down years, where he couldn't get a caddy to stick. He was always just like yelling at the caddies on the course.
Yeah.
And he had like 4 years of terrible golf. And that's what can happen if you don't trust the person who's carrying your bag.
After being touted as probably the next Tiger Woods or close to it.
Like, yeah, buddy, you're
many off years. I mean, you think about Tiger kept the same caddy forever.
Yeah. And for a reason.
And it worked. And then Jordan Spieth going through all these caddies trying to figure out who's going to work for him. And obviously sometimes you can get lucky. Tiger probably didn't get lucky. He probably just knew how to pick them.
That's probably true. If you like, Tiger's one of those guys that probably just knows how to pick them. But, you know, I really think, because I want to talk about it because of what Homa was just like, because I listened to the snippet in the podcast, so I was able to hear the inflection in his voice, and it almost felt like he was giving more credit to his caddy than his actual self who won the tournament, you know. And that's really the importance a caddy can have to a golfer.
From what I hear, they help tremendously.
Dude, caddy love needs to be a more of a thing. You gotta start shouting out caddies.
I don't know if they'd help me going out on the course.
They wouldn't help us at all.
They might help with like course management a little bit, but like part of the fun I have is not using course management.
I'm cutting the trees. I know it's a dumb idea.
There's always a window, and a caddy's going to tell me there's not a window, and it's just going to be lying to me because there's always a window.
Well, that's like when you ask me what I think, and then I tell you, and you're like, well, that's not fun. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm telling you what I'm saying.
Yeah. But when I ask you, hey, Brian, should I go over this tree or should I go back into the fairway and take another shot? I'm not asking for you to tell me the logical and reasonable answer to that question. I'm asking for you to hype me up and tell me that you think I'm going to hit it over that tree.
There's a window.
I will inevitably scull it directly at the tree and probably put all of our lives in danger.
Well, I mean, that did happen the one time he put me and Phil in some danger.
Oh my gosh, I almost killed you guys.
Oh my god,
I was dying. That was like an 8 iron. That wasn't even in my legs.
Yeah, you just agree.
Like that was just a full on iron.
What a stinger.
Sometimes you just accidentally get drunk and things happen. I don't know.
It happens to the best of us. It really does. Yeah, I just kind of want to shout out some caddy love there because I feel like it's just not talked about enough. Now, maybe some guys who either need a caddy change or something like that. There's definitely a couple of those guys on the tour this year, but none, I think, more, I guess, kind of shocking in a way, just because of, you know, people's assumptions of the player, is Jason Day. So let me run you through his season so far. So he started his season at the CJ Cup, T64. Enterprise Houston Open, T54. The RSM, cut. The Amex, 49th. Farmers Insurance, T3. It's good showing. It's a hard course, good showing there. Pebble Beach Pro-Am, T24. The Players, cut. The Valspar, cut. Valero Texas Open, cut. And then finally, the Zurich Classic. He was T10, but that's a partner event. Yeah. And then the Wells Fargo, he ended up being T15. He had the 36-hole lead, and he shot, what, 9 over on Saturday, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. So it has been a tough year for Jason Day. And now Jason Day is kind of one of those guys, Rick brought it up when we were talking about Max Homa, who's never really going to be considered one of the elites. But everybody knows who he is because he is that good of a golfer. Now, when you're off to a tough start like he is, didn't qualify for the Masters because he didn't get a win and didn't get an invitation. As far as like a mindset, now I know like obviously we're not professional golfers, so our mindsets almost matter not at all. But we are here on a podcast after all, so damn it, we're going to talk about it. in your mind, if you're going off like a really tough stretch early in the year, you still have about a half a year to go, though. You got the tail end.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start to build off of back-to-back weeks in the top 20? Now, one obviously was a partner event, so you didn't really do it yourself, but you did get that top 20 at the Wells Fargo. And you can, how do you take this momentum? Where do you put yourself in a mindset to try and just be better than the first part of the year is gone?
It's tough. It's really tough to say because I don't even know if I can consider momentum at this point. Like, yeah, he got a top 20 in a partner event. How much work do you really do in a partner event? Sometimes you can carry your teammate, but whatever. And then this week would have been in a fantastic way to kind of catapult and get a little bit of momentum. But then Saturday comes, he shoots a +9 to drop out of the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday comes. This is where you're like really kind of tested. Like you just shot +9 to lose the lead yesterday. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to roll over and just be like, maybe I'll get him next week? Or are you going to come back and fire off a -9 and play the round of your life and like at least get back into the mix? Instead, he just goes out and shoots even par on Sunday. Not what you want to see if you're trying to carry some momentum. I mean, even par is it's crazy to say these kind of things, because if anyone I ever knew shot even par, I'd lose my mind for them.
Well, yeah,
but
for
when
sure.
It comes to the PGA Tour, like you just know it's not good enough. Like he had a -7 on the first day, so you know he's capable of it. Just,
right,
you got to go out and do it again on Sunday. If you shoot even a -5 that day, you're back to 6 under, and that puts you in T2.
Right,
like that window is open for you. You got to be able to take it, and you got to be able to ride that. And he just didn't do it going into Sunday, which makes me nervous for the rest of the season, because that's the kind of thing that you're feeling really good going into it. That Saturday kills you. Sunday doesn't help you out at all because you feel like you didn't do anything significant to come back into it.
Right. And, you know, I think probably the worst anomaly you could probably think of as far as professional golfers are concerned is starting the first 2 days pretty hot with the putter and then going absolutely frigid cold.
Yeah.
In the first 2 days of the putter, Jason Day goes a stroke over strokes gained for putting. And then the next day he turns around, goes 2.5 strokes gained, mm-hmm. right? Saturday, -3. And then Sunday, -2.
Jeez.
You know, you took all that good work, all the good things that you did the last 2 days, and then just did the exact opposite. Now, granted, the weather wasn't great. We get that. That's why Matt Fitzpatrick was T2. It just is what it is. He loves playing in horrible weather.
But there was plenty of guys that shot -3, -4. Right. Stuart Sink shot -5.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Like,
if Stuart Sink wasn't tough, can do it, you can do it.
Like, it wasn't a tough course by any means. Now, did the conditions make it harder than it was? Of course it did. But, you know, I'm not going to go out there and say the TPC courses, other than like Sawgrass and Scottsdale, are all that hard. You know, like,
yeah,
for professional golfers, for us, we get screwed by that course. We shoot 150s.
Yeah, but like, exactly.
It, when you're a professional golfer, and, you know, especially early on in Jason Day's career with how he was touted, you're Jason Day, man. Like, you got it. You have to do the Jason thing that you were meant to do. And, you know, I'm going back to like looking kind of at his whole career on a linear path here on datagolf.com. And he starts off so hot in 2017. When he makes his first appearance in January 2017, he starts off so hot. You know, his official world golf rank was in the top five. In fact, he was at number one in 2017.
Jeez.
We are all the way now in his world golf ranking at 52, which granted is not bad. But when you start your career up here and now 5 years later, you're down kind of over 45 points.
Or when you start your career young that well.
Right.
It's different if you're one of these guys that come in later, 28, right, 29, but he was young when he was at that point.
Yeah, he was 28. I think he was 28 years old. And now he's staring down 35. Like, you're getting older and the golf is not getting better for you. Yeah. So I think when it comes to like mentality of golfers, obviously I think it changes so drastically between golfers, what they prefer and everything like that. And if there's one thing that we do know about Jason Day, is he is a really likable dude.
Yeah,
he's a good dude. He doesn't really get in a whole lot of trouble or do say anything and stupid or anything like that. He's not a big braggadocious kind of guy, but like, maybe he just needs a bit of fire, you know?
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
He's a big enough name. He would draw some attention. If you're the Saudi League, do you offer him a contract?
I'd be surprised if they hadn't already. I think the Saudi League at least sent an invitation to the top 50.
He's not in the top 50, though.
Okay. So he's... Sorry, he's... What do we got here today? Oh, my gosh. He's down to 119 now. Never mind. If I'm the Saudi League, I probably will send him an invitation. I still, if I'm Jason Day, though, I don't take it. That's for sure. Just because it's not like the PGA Tour has left you in the dust. You know, you're still relevant. You just have to get back to even, you know, as close as 2019 where he was playing, you know, like he was still really good in 2019. It wasn't that far off. So that it's kind of unfortunate for Jason Day because he is such a likable guy. But just the watching the collapse happen this weekend was tough because you like him and everything. And it's like, dude, you just gotta be better than that. At +9 on a Saturday. Oh
yeah.
Yeah. But instead of all that kind of depressing talk, I, Mr. Rick Landis, have a rookie of the year watch to start looking at. I got some ROI conversation going on here.
Are we talking about Anhorban Lahiri?
We are not, but you could consider him. He is known for...
He's been playing pretty well.
He has been playing pretty well, but you know who else has been playing pretty well?
Who?
That would be Cameron Young.
Ooh.
Now, the last 2 weeks, he's been T2, T3. However, he did get cut at the Masters, but it's the Masters. What are you going to do? But so far this year, he's got one, two, three, four, five.
He's not a
rookie. He turned pro in 2019, made the PGA Tour in 2022.
Huh.
Yeah. But you probably heard him from the US Open because it was an open event, so you don't have to have a tour card for that. But he's I just had the number two. 1, 2, sorry. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven of his starts so far, he's been in the top 20. And, you know, as I was watching him play this weekend, and he ended up coming in T2. And he was really impressive. Now, what worries me is how bad his putting is. That's the only worrisome bit. The only day that he spent strokes gained in putting was Saturday, which clearly was the day to make your move since Jason Day would just start shooting shit the bed. But his putting does worry me because he's really below average on the putting. However, his driving distance is amongst the tops in the PGA Tour. He's a whole 2.2 strokes gained above tour average in driving distance. However,
he's a young boy.
Yeah, he is 25. I think he turned 25 this month. So congratulations to him. I did not know it was his birthday. But when it really comes down to it, the reason I like, yeah, hey, look at that. 2 days ago.
3 days ago when you're listening to this.
3 days ago when you listen to this, yes. What I think excites me the most about Cameron Young is not just the absolute hammer he has for a driver, but that the rest of the game, other than the putting, clearly, like I was saying, is pretty well-rounded. You know, around the greens, his driving accuracy, his approach shots. He's a well-rounded golfer. Now, the only problem is that we see well-rounded golfers come into the tour every single year.
Uh-huh.
But as far as like I'm looking at him and I'm seeing it's possible. It is possible. You know, when he was asked about it, about like especially this last weekend, he said, quote, "I think I've done okay. I've come close to winning a few times, so hopefully it'll go the other way around at some point and I'll be having a different conversation," which obviously like hell yeah, let's shoot for the moon. But you know, you got 3 runner-up finishes this year as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's nothing to scoff at. Now, of course, it was the Sanderson Farms, the Genesis, and the Wells Fargo. So it wasn't like massive events by any means, but you got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when we're talking
momentum, take it.
Yeah. And we're talking ROI. We're not saying you got to win the Masters. You know, it's a totally different animal when you just want to be the rookie of the year. So, folks, I'm telling you, you might want to put Cameron Young on your rookie of the year watch. We're calling it here first. All righty. In other PGA news, before we start looking ahead to next week's stuff, we got some more drama because this is apparently we're just a drama filled tour nowadays with Sergio Garcia. Now, if you're wondering why we're talking about Sergio Garcia, because it certainly isn't about his golf, it's because he decided to have a little bit of an outburst this weekend at the Wells Fargo Championship. In round one on the 10th hole, he pretty much just went full shankopotamus into the woods to the right. And now the ball did go out of bounds. So he was allotted his 3 minutes to go and find the ball. The only problem is that to go get his ball, he had to trek across a stream, which, you know, he had to like walk on the rocks and stuff and not lose his balance and fall in to get to the other side. The rules official dictated that his 3 minutes were up, and they told him his 3 minutes were up basically by the time he had just gotten to the other side of the stream and began to look. And he started to argue that, you know, when did his time start? Did it start when he first tried to trek across the stream? Because it took him 2 minutes to get across the stream, you know, and then you're only left with 1 minute to find the ball. But the rules official did dictate that his time had passed and he would have to take the extra stroke. And so he was a little bit upset, saying things like he was caught on the hot mic, you know, saying things like, "I can't wait to leave this tour. Can't wait to get out of here. Just a couple more weeks until I don't have to deal with you anymore." And so now the question is this Sergio basically saying he's going across? Now, I'm sure you're all thinking, well, Brian, if this happened on Thursday, I'm sure some professional, like probably like a Rob Bolton, very professional PGA Tour writer, has already asked him this question. You just have to go find it, Brian. Do your due diligence as a host. Nay, I say, because he refused to meet with the media for the rest of the tournament. He did not meet with the media at all. So he never gave himself the chance to explain himself. I mean, if this isn't confirmation that he's going to the Saudi tour, I don't know what else is. Because what else is he talking about when he says a couple more weeks, I don't have to deal with you. By the way, that tour starts in June, a couple more weeks.
Interesting. And
I can't wait to get out of here. Like, he's going over, right?
It sounds, I don't know what word to use. It sounds kind of like stereotyping in a way, I guess.
Sure.
But I think, excuse me. I think we're going to see a lot more of the foreign golfers leaving to go to the other tour. Because right. You think about it, Lee Westwood, he's foreign, isn't he?
He's English, yeah.
He is English, yes. And the first tour stop is in London over there.
Exactly.
That was his big reason for going over there. Sergio, he's from Spain, correct?
He's from Spain.
Also kind of in that region, I think. I'm not good at geography, but I know it's in Europe. Those are the two we have confirmed so far. And then Phil Mickelson, who it came out, had like $40 million in gambling debts from like the span of 2010 to 2016. So, I mean, that's a completely different story.
Right.
But the two guys that we confirmed are not because of gambling debts, are from Europe. So I think the guys that we're going to see do that kind of thing are going to be the guys from Europe who are realizing. I think the appealing thing to them is it's almost like the Euro Tour, except there's a lot more money involved.
Way more money. And that kind of is what it is. It's basically the European Tour in a way, with just so much more money attached to it, you mm-hmm. know, pretty comparable to a PGA Tour type of winning purse, you know?
Yeah. Or more, depending.
Or more, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the way they're formatting it is contracts, not like you win a yeah. purse. Mm-hmm. It's like this is guaranteed your contract money. To be on this tour. So mm-hmm. you get guaranteed money and you know that you're not very competitive on the PGA Tour anymore.
You maybe go back, home, be closer you know? To family for most exactly. of your season.
Right. Now, I wish that this wasn't the situation where we find out that Sergio is going across. But I'm going to be completely frank with you. And sorry, Sergio, but nobody really cares if you go over. I don't really think anybody is going to be heartbroken or affected.
Yeah.
If you go over there. Now, if your Spaniard counterpart, John Rahm, went over, then we'd have some news. Then we'd have some news. Just to continue with the news, though, on Thursday, after the day of where this happened, the PGA Tour did say the referee in Garcia's group had mistimed Garcia's search, and that Garcia had, in fact, found his ball within the time limit permitted by the rules. The Tour was calling it an inadvertent error. But also, this opens up an entirely new question about search time. When are we saying that the time is starting? Is it when they cross the threshold of OB and go look OB? Is that when it starts? Or is there going to be situations like this where the side of the stream that the fairway was closest to was where out of bounds started, but he had to trek across the stream to get to where his ball was?
When you go out of bounds is when it starts.
It has
if your ball's
to be,
on the
right?
other side of the stream, that's on you. Hit a better
right.
shot.
Right.
Don't be mad. Because they won't give you more time. We're trying to speed up the game of golf. We're trying to make it more appealing to other people
right.
that aren't necessarily into watching golf. No one wants to watch you cross the stream unless you fall in, which you didn't, okay? Maybe if you fall in, we'll cut you some slack.
He did, however, and I find this funny because of the whole argument of the time that he needed. He did take the time midstream to stop, look at the camera, and point out a snake. So,
wasting time. I don't feel
bad. You were wasting your 3 minutes doing that.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for you.
Sergio. Yeah, but it's really no offense to Sergio. Like, he has had some really cool moments on tour, you know, in his years being on it, but no one's going to care. And in Lee Westwood, no one cares. Go ahead.
I will say the two guys that are confirmed going over, well, the three, I guess, because Phil is definitely confirmed going over, all of them over 40, one of them over 50.
Yep.
None of the young guys are going. Interesting.
And I think that's what the Saudi League is going to find a bit difficult, is pulling the young guys away from the 100%. PGA Tour.
No doubt about it. You're not getting Scottie Scheffler. You're not getting John Rahm. You're not getting Sam Burns. You're not getting these young guys that are still competing on the tour. The guys that are going to get you the eyes. No, think about how often you talk to someone about golf and they're like, hey, I watched the Euro Tour this morning. Nobody says that.
No, you didn't.
Nobody watches.
I don't
it.
Believe you.
You couldn't name three guys on there that aren't Matt Fitzpatrick and Tommy Fleetwood. You couldn't. I'm sorry.
Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah. Those three guys, you take those three away. You can't name anybody.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's going to be the same thing with this, especially if it keeps being guys like Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia. Phil Mickelson might keep making waves just because he's old and getting dementia. But,
and he's also, he's Phil.
Other than that, you're not going to be getting any of these guys that are big head turners.
Right. And, you know, the one that feasibly I think they could get in Bryson DeChambeau is also the most annoying young one that you could get from the group.
Honestly, so that might be the worst thing for them if they got Bryson. Because everybody on the PGA Tour would be super excited about him leaving, and they would almost make sure that no one ever heard from him again.
Oh, yeah. They'd make it a point. Because then he gets banned from the PGA Tour. And then he goes over, realizes the competition's not even close to what it was. He gets bored, wants to come back. Oh, no, you can't.
That's the other thing, too, that I get that I'm confused about. If a guy like Bryson were to go over there, he's obviously going to smack around Sergio, Lee Westwood, and Phil Mickelson. Wouldn't I feel like I'd be like upset if I was doing that and I just like started winning a bunch and like was real. I was like, huh, maybe I could potentially make more if I wasn't making based off of contract.
Right. And, you know, the whole idea of the contract thing is a good idea. Especially for those that kind of like want the guaranteed money, aka Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be hard to convince these younger players to go over because they want to compete for the money. They want that fire in their belly. They want to make the money because they win. Guaranteed contract is not very, you know, like, I guess, convincing for these guys because they're like, yeah, but I can still get it done here and I want to have that faith in myself and I want to do it that way.
The other thing that we haven't even discussed, actually, now that I'm just thinking about it, is we haven't really talked about sponsors. Like, Scottie Scheffler is for sure making more than $25 million a year from Nike.
Yep,
for sure. No doubt in my mind.
Right.
Why is he going to take a contract from you for $25 million? That's all he's going to make that year.
And that he might lose Nike because he didn't get eyes.
That he would most definitely lose Nike because of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That he could make $25 million from Nike and then also win 4 out of 6 tournaments within a 2-month span. That it makes no sense. The math just doesn't add up. So you're not going to get a guy like Scottie Scheffler. I would almost go out on a limb and say anybody who has a big sponsor that's not UPS at Lee Westwood, I'm adding you like right now in person. anybody who has a sponsor, like a big golf sponsor, like Nike, like Adidas, like, you're not getting those guys. You're going to get the guys like Bryson who are sponsored by Puma.
Yeah.
Who is not like, a golf brand.
Or like Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Who's also sponsored by Puma. Yeah.
Not a golf brand. Okay. It's a soccer brand. Go to Europe. Big brand over there.
Brand in Europe.
I'm just saying. I'm not a professional by any means in making decisions. But that's what I would do.
You know what you are professional of, though? Being a podcast host. What you could do better?
Be a podcast host.
Well, other than that, put together power rankings. Folks, it has almost become our favorite time of the podcast.
Is it out?
It's out.
Is the Rob Bolton
20 minutes ago, out? Rob blessed us with power rankings.
Blessed, we'll call it that.
Yeah, and you know what, Rick? I'm looking at him. And I don't hate them.
Well, that's because there's no field this week because everybody's getting ready for the major championship that's in 2 weeks. No one wants to play AT&T Byron Nelson, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. he basically took the five best in the field and was like, here you go, top five. Which you should have done last week, by the way, but you didn't.
But so that's on you. Mark Leishman at number one.
So that's on you. You know, what I do like about these, and we've talked about, I think like hundreds of times before, what we do like about these smaller stops is the chance for the younger guys, the ones that don't get the chances too often, to get a win. Like, for example, Holiday Harmon is ranked 9th here. Let's go, buddy.
Holiday you Herbert, can do you it. Mean?
What was that?
Holiday Herbert, you mean?
Oh, goodness. I got them mixed up. Sorry. Brian
Harmon is nice.
Brian Harmon, yeah. Holiday Herbert. Brian, what are you doing? And also, don't worry. Mark Leishman, still in the top 15.
For
reasons I don't understand.
After a missed cut.
But we're here.
Looking for a comeback.
We are here for the top five, dang it. For next week's AT&T Byron Nelson, the stop before the PGA Championship. Let's get into it here, Rick, buddy. Let's make some waves. I will list you the top five in no specific order, and you arrange them. Are you ready?
Ready.
Justin Thomas. Sam Burns.
Interesting.
Scotty Scheffler. Will Zalatoris. Jordan Spieth.
Those are some big names playing the week before the PGA.
I'm looking at this list, and there we got Xander, we got Joaquin Neiman, we got Hideki Matsuyama, DJ, I guess Cameron Champ, if you really want to consider Taylor Gooch. Yeah, a lot more guys than I expected. It looks like Brooks is playing, Tommy Fleetwood, Kevin Kisner, Matthew Wolf, KH Lee.
I didn't think this was that big of a tournament for most guys.
Well, I think a lot of guys who are playing in this one didn't play last week and want to warm up before.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Because if you didn't play last week, you
do need to warm up. We haven't heard from a lot of those guys in a while. We haven't heard from Brooks in a little while. We haven't heard from DJ in a little while.
Yeah. Well, DJ went and got married, so there was that.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying we haven't heard from them in a while as far as leaderboards and whatnots go.
Yeah, it's not like the AT&T Byron Nelson is a fade tournament by any means, but it usually doesn't host this many of, you could probably say, the top 50 in the world.
Yeah.
So it might be a bit of a cooler Byron Nelson than we usually see at TPC Craig Ranch this year. But with those names, give me your top five.
Well, my top five includes golfer being number one, which I'm assuming probably is not how this ranking has been done.
It actually is.
Oh, wonderful. We finally got one.
Rob used his brain. I don't know. So it's crazy.
We got Scotty. We got who are the rest of them? Sorry. JT was one of them.
Yep. JT is one of them. Jordan Spieth, Will Zalatoris, Sam Burns are the other three.
Okay. So I'm going to go JT two.
Correct.
Sam Burns three.
No.
Will Zalatoris three.
Yes.
And then Sam Burns four.
No.
No. And then who was the other one?
Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth four and yep. Sam Burns five.
Sam Burns is five. Yeah. See, I don't hate it. It seems like he turned his brain on.
Yeah. I mean, the only slight change I would make is maybe switching Zalatoris and Burns.
I agree.
That might be the only thing I have with that.
But as far as like some of his other power rankings that we've seen,
Mark Leishman's not number one.
He's not. And
which is good.
I think that's promising.
Step in the right direction for Rob.
Very promising. Is Rob Bolden going to shock the world and start having real power rankings? We will see. We will, folks. All right, let's go through it. Number five, Sam Burns, the two-time winner this season, quickly has it figured out how to balance his playing time, which is easier said than done. He's been off since teaming with Billy Horschel for the second place in New Orleans at the Dell match, which is cool. Number four, Jordan Spieth, rested since emerging with victory at Harbortown 4 weeks ago. The local native and resident opened with a 63 to co-lead and then finished T9, led the field in par four scoring. We're going the right direction. Will Zalatoris, number three, 19th in FedEx Cup. He's the highest ranked non-winner this season in the field. The Dallas resident charges hard too with a T5, T6, and T4 in his last three starts here. Or his last three starts this season, T17 last year. Will Zalatoris is hot right now.
Good just enough for me.
Hasn't scooped a win. Number two, Justin Thomas. Nails all season, but still winless since the Players 14 months ago. Should thrive at TPC Craig Ranch debut. Second in putting, birdies or better. T1 in par four scoring and third in par five scoring. I mean, we were talking about this already. JT is poised for at least a win, if not two this year at some point.
Did Rob open up the stat book this week?
Rob, I think, opened up his eyes.
We're not basing it on feelers anymore.
No, it's not random statistics from years ago. He's like, yeah, these guys are playing well.
One time when he was a rookie in 2001, He placed 15th here. So I think he stands a good chance.
That's a win in my book. And number one, yes, number one, the world number one golfer, Scottie Scheffler.
Fair enough.
Unless he doesn't play, this spot is his. Winner of four in his last six individual competitions, and now he's fresh off a confidence-building 64 at Southern Hills last Thursday. Scottie Scheffler, number one overall. That makes sense.
Can you please screenshot that for me?
I know, right?
The explanation of unless he's not playing, this spot's his.
Yes.
Because the next week when it's not him, because that's just who Rob is as a person.
Yeah, Rob's a fade guy. Rob's a big fade guy.
At him.
If you're a sports bettor, you want to fade with those picks.
Also, just being a Scotty guy, I don't want him to win this week.
Any reason for that? You want him to save the win for the major?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he did it already this year, which is tough enough. I just feel like doing it twice in a row is tough.
It is.
Again. I mean, it's normally tough to do, and he's already done it once this year. Unless he's just playing out of his mind, which he, as we've seen, is.
He pretty much is.
Unless he's just even playing more out of his mind than we thought he was, I would rather him save it for the major next week.
Can you imagine the pure carnage that is going to be this podcast if Scottie Scheffler wins the PGA champ?
Imagine if he just grand slammed it.
Maybe he just never loses again. What if he just he never again loses a golf tournament that he plays in? Because clearly, according to Rob Bolton, unless he's not playing, he wins.
I hope Scotty gets the grand slam this year.
That would be so cool. What a turnaround that would be. Oh my gosh. And you know, as we talked about when, you know, we were in the middle of our Scotty, you know, bonanza that was, it still kind of is. We found out that he went to high school with Super Bowl winning quarterback Matt Stafford. It is really weird to say Matt Stafford won a bowl. Good for him though. Good for he earned.
Very happy for him.
Very happy for Matt Stafford. Still weird to say, but I was thinking about, you know, since I'm turning it to another sport. By the way, we're moving to the two-man scramble here, folks. I came across this Golf Digest article. A golfer that is going to be making his PGA Tour debut, I believe this week. No, he made his PGA Tour debut. Okay, that was this article is from a bit ago, but still. 6'10".
Jesus.
He is 6'10". I don't have his weight here. His driver goes 373 on average.
On average?
On average. He is from South Africa. He made a sponsor's exemption. I'm not sure which event it was. For the American Express. No, not the
What's
American
his name? Express.
Yeah, the American Express. His name is James Hart Dupree. And Pre is spelled P-R-E-E-Z. There is I found a tweet of him taking a golf shot, and he's so tall.
That's insane. He's just such a large human.
He's so tall. So it got me thinking at 6'10", because I immediately said out loud, I was like, you should play basketball. It got me thinking. For the two-man scramble tonight, what we're going to do is for the four major sports, so that's basketball, football, baseball, and ice hockey. What we're going to do is we're going to pick out of the guys that are on tour right now, who do we think on tour is the best of the guys at those sports? So, like, we would say this guy would be the best out of everybody else on tour at this sport.
Well, definitely James for basketball.
Yep, that's exactly where I was going
alone.
As well.
There's just the height alone. It has to be basketball.
The height. My other guy, though, was Tony Finau.
You think Tony would be good at basketball?
Tony's 6'6", and you know he.
Tony's 6'6"?
He big. He big. Tony Finau is a big dude.
I did not know he was 6'6".
He's a big dude. I was gonna say Tony Finau, but this guy 6'10", and that you know you have enough muscle to drive the ball 373.
It's not even muscle. He's a skinny dude. It's just all torque at that point.
Yeah, but he puts just on some physics. He's 26, so he could easily put on muscle if he really tried to do so.
I feel like it's one of those situations where he could have gone one of two routes. He could have gone the route of being the next Thor strongman, or he could have gone the route of being a professional basketball player. And then he just like found this little tiny opening that I always talk about when I'm out on the golf course, and he just went for it. And that was golf.
Yep. Now, this guy, by the way, is only 1 inch shorter than NBA MVP Nikola Jokic.
He's 6'11". I don't know he's anything about basketball.
6'11". Joel Embiid is 7 foot.
Well, yeah, I know he's a monster.
You know, just like Cameroonian giant.
I don't know basketball at all.
Neither do I. I don't know. I just looked up their heights. Like, I just did that. He's only 1 inch shorter than the NBA, you know, MVP. And I'm thinking if he puts on some muscle, you got yourself a power forward right there. You got yourself a center. Absolute machine from South Africa. So I'm giving the basketball one to James, my man here. So he gets I'm with it. Yeah. But now we have three other major sports to cover. So where do you want to go first? You want to go baseball, football, or hockey?
I'll follow you.
All righty. I was going to go with, I'm going to go with football. And now there's a couple of different avenues you could take here.
There is. And my first
instinct is there's a lot of positions.
Is just Brooks.
That is my first instinct too.
Built like a football player.
Yes. But the only reason I'm not going to do it is because I have him reserved for another sport.
Oh, you think he'd be a better baseball player?
I do think he'd be a better baseball player. You're telling me that man is not hitting tank jobs just all over the place? He
probably would be a pretty good baseball player.
He's already got the swing mechanics down. You just put him in that short right field porch in New York, in Yankee Stadium. Yeah. And he hits like 50 home runs a year. Problem solved. Fair. For football, though, the guy that I wanted to go with, and it's kind of hard because, you know, you're looking at them all and you're like, well, we have so many positions to choose from, too. You know, I was saying, you put the psychopath that is John Rahm at linebacker, somebody might get injured.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, you know, I wouldn't call him like a Adonis of muscle by any means, but I think he's heavy enough and tall enough to kind of get the job done at linebacker. So I like John Rahm at linebacker for football.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
You got one? You got a baseball or a football? Or hockey.
Well, football, too. I think I'm just going to stick with Brooks. I just feel like
that makes sense.
I feel like it just makes the most
sense. He's an athlete, too. So, like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he's just a general athlete. Like, he could pick up a lot of sports and just be really good at them. Where do you want to go next?
Well, up to you. You can do your baseball picks, since I told everybody that mine was Brooks.
That's fair. Baseball, I don't know. Another one I don't know, like, too much about. I know more about it, but I don't know as much. My initial reaction was another guy who's just an all-around athlete who I think, if you gave him enough time, would be able to do it, and that's Dustin Johnson.
Right.
But I think my out-of-nowhere kind of pick is tough. I feel like it's got to be a foreign guy because I feel like foreign guys are better at baseball.
Sure.
But then again, I also feel like Tony Finau would be pretty good at baseball.
Yeah, Tony Finau would be good at baseball.
I feel like he might be a pretty good baseball player.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah, he's going to hit tank shots, isn't he? Yeah. You could just see it. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I still think Brooks would just hit absolute nukes.
He probably would.
You know, like, man, that dude would just crush some baseballs. And it's really funny that I said, like, my immediate reaction was that he would just be a Yankee because he looks like the archetype. Like, oh, you like hitting home runs? We'll give you all of this money. Come play in New York. Like, that's that's what they do. They have Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo,
yeah,
Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Brooks Koepka. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got
same, you. Same.
Different, but still same.
So you're going with Tony Finau. I like it. I like it. Well, the last sport we have then is ice hockey. Who do you got? Are you going to pick one of the Canadians?
See, I was thinking more like stereotypical, like foreign hockey team kind of deals. And I thought Victor Hovland, I just don't know if he has it in him.
I don't know if he's got it in either. He's too happy.
He has it in him to play.
He's too nice.
And that's what I'm saying. Just based on being from Norway, it would give him a little bit of an edge, but I don't know for sure. I might need a second on this one if you have one.
I do have one. And I'm going with Maverick McNeely because actually he played ice hockey up until college his entire life.
Really?
He played both golf and ice hockey in pretty much his entire life, if I'm getting this story correct. Yeah. Said that there was things in ice hockey that also helped him improve his golf game and keep his mind sharp.
Very interesting. Is there any elaboration on that? Because I have no idea where that connection would be made.
There's a video on PGA Tour's website I can send you if you'd like. He says something about a wrister or whatever, just keeping his mind sharp, so something like that. Probably like not actually true whatsoever. He just enjoyed playing both, but you know,
yeah.
PGAtour.com's got to ask golf questions. So.
Honestly, I just don't know that I could see any of these guys surviving on a hockey team.
Bryson DeChambeau?
I would pick Rom before I'd pick DeChambeau.
Yeah, I think Rom could do it. I think Rom could fend for himself.
I don't also know if he's a psycho. Skate. For some reason, I feel like Rom can't skate.
Oh yeah, you know he can't skate.
I just get that vibe.
Yeah, you're looking at him and like you definitely can't skate, can you?
Maybe Billy Horschel.
Maybe
if you're looking for like a kind of whack job. He's only 6'1", 175, but like maybe he's got some speed.
Yeah, but 6'1", 175 is fine in the NHL, you know.
Yeah, you put some skates on your 6'3".
If you can outskate a guy, your size does not matter.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's got some speed to him. I don't know.
I like it.
He's crazy enough.
So. He is. He definitely is.
You got to be at least a little bit crazy.
There you go. You do. You got to be at least a little nice.
I just wanted to branch off of your question real quick. I know we're getting kind of long here, but I did come up with this in my head while we were talking about it.
Sure.
Non-major sport, person who would probably be the best in the world at it.
What do you mean?
So my example that I have come up with in my head is Cam Smith. If he decided that he wanted to be the best in the world, I think he could dominate the world of curling.
Dude, I was going to say cornhole.
Maybe.
Or like dad sports like that.
Yeah.
If he just decided to go professional in one of the dad sports. Oh, yeah. That takes the Australian team to gold. Yeah, okay, I like this. Okay, so non-major
sports.
Got it. Okay. All right. Let me do some thinking here. Let me do some thinking. I think. Oh man. See, like I had the cornhole thing. That's huge.
That is a huge one.
That's a good one. But like, who else would like be really good at cornhole?
Probably Harry Higgs.
Dude, you know Harry Higgs would be so good. You know the team of Harry Higgs and Shane Lowry is not losing a single cornhole match, and two whole kegs are getting finished that night. Not only are they going undefeated, but they've just housed 4 to 5 plates of cheesesteaks and Irish potatoes and also finished two whole kegs of themselves, and they're still alive while everybody else has since passed.
Yeah.
And they're still winning cornhole matches.
I mean, if we're going teams, then I think Ricky Fowler paired with what's his name?
Cam Smith
in curling. I just think that's an unstoppable duo. I think they're the Tom Brady's of curling. Like
they probably are.
You're just going to see them forever.
The Tom Brady's of curling. That's amazing. It's the Tom Brady, Drew Brees of curling. It's basically exactly. That combo.
They just never leave. They're always great.
Ever. And they're constantly winning because that's what they do. That's what mullets do. Mullets make you good at obscure sports. And I stand by that.
Especially curling.
Especially curling. Yes. I've always wanted to try curling.
Me too.
I'm surprised I haven't gotten around to it, you know, since like it was something that you could do like at most of the ice rinks I played hockey at. I just never thought to ask, I guess.
It'd be fun.
Could have been an Olympian. But here I am on this podcast.
Wasting my time.
Well, thanks for letting us waste your time, folks. As always, thank you so much for listening to From the Tips. We're really appreciative that you guys, you know, spend a time out of your week to listen to us talk about golf and other random things. It's really cool. It's a really cool concept. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram at @FromTheTips_pod, and go ahead and follow us on Twitter. We have one of those now. Rick, what's the handle for that?
It's at @FTT_pod.
Loving that. We got a Twitter now, so you got to follow, because you know easily we could come unhinged at any moment. And you're probably going to want to be there for that.
You want to be there when that happens.
You're going to want to be there for when that happens. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.